Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Universal Energy Radio. This is the Some of You show. My name is Elisa.
Live from New York. It's the Some of You show. My name is Liz. We're in the same space. We're in different rooms because when we're together, there's an echo, or so we've been told. So I'm in one end of the apartment, and she's in the other end of the apartment.
Yay.
And there's no echo. Yay, we figured it. Well, she figured it out. I'm like, where's my coffee, girl? And happily doing a show from my neck of the woods. Happy for that for a change, because everything's always Atlanta. So
oh,
this is great. No, this is so lovely and wonderful, and I'm thrilled that you guys are here visiting. So that makes me very happy.
It's been so nice. So nice to be here.
It's been amazing. Yes. Nice to have you. So that was, you know, those of you who've been listening to the show for a while would always hear the contention between my 12-year-old and myself, like, go to school. I was very proud of him. I don't know if he's going to be on time, but if he's going to be late, he's going to be less than 10 minutes late. So progress.
Yeah.
Honoring and recognizing the progress and encouraging him. And he loves Elisa, so that's great. And just a nice energy. And like I told, I'm being cryptic on purpose, Elisa, to protect the innocent.
I know.
Yeah. But what's so sweet is that to have Elisa and company here, it's just amazing. And as I said to those guys yesterday, I really need to feel like this is a staycation. Like, you guys are on vacation, but I need to feel like I'm on a staycation, because we're just so shell-shocked, and it's a nice reprieve. So this is really a perfect opportunity to be with people that you consider to be family that you never get to see. So it's always really special
right.
when we get together. Yeah.
Right.
Whether I go there or they come here, and to go back and forth. So it's just fabulous to have you here. Is anybody needing us today? Because I wanted to say something to you before that I just forgot, but I just remembered now.
Oh, no. We're good. Nothing.
Okay.
No hands raised, but we're good.
Uh-huh. All right. So, excuse me. So what's so great is the rare opportunities that Elisa and I get a chance to get together. We always start to brainstorm and about, okay, we've been doing this show for over 7 years. It's just this beautiful, effortless collaboration of energies. And we both feel that we want to really take our collaborative presence to the next level, to find a way to make ourselves accessible through the mainstream, not so much with private readings, but more with being available for special events, corporate events, to refine what we do on air, but to transpose that into a live event / service. So, you know, I'm always thinking, and like Anna, I have a very marketing brain. You do too, actually. Mm-hmm. And one thing that you said a lot that has resonated with me on the air and just in conversation, and it really was like a missing puzzle piece when you talk about that the law of attraction has consequences. You even said, you know, that being Asian has its consequence. So my son is black as a consequence. I'm a Latin
right.
woman, that has consequence. So all those things I found, wow, you know what? That's a really hopeful and interesting approach. And there was, this is probably before your time, I was super young when this was on the air, but there was a game show that my, and it's funny because we were talking about your aunt watching game shows, There was a game show that we used to watch growing up. I guess my parents watched it. My mom watched it when we were very, very young, called Truth or Consequences.
I remember hearing
and
about it, yeah.
Yes, so that was, but we were, you, this, you must have not been bored, but whatever. It says, oh, I maybe ran, maybe probably ran for a long, long time, but it was before Bob Barker did Price is Right. Like, he mm-hmm. did that, hosted that show, I think, for a long, if I'm not mistaken, for a long, long, long time.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not something that, which I think is good in terms of marketing, it's not a name that we hear all the time, or that it's a brand. So I didn't really sleep well last night because that's who I am. And I just let things come in, as I do when I give, you know, readings. I just allow it to come in. So I thought, oh, a play on that name, because you have talked about the consequence of the incarnation that we're in, the consequence of the choices that we make. And it's not like it's a right or wrong. It's just, well, it's physics, really. It's
right, right.
So instead of truth or consequence, where it's almost like truth or dare, like, well, if you don't tell the truth or do this or do that, then you're going to have to, get hit with the whipped cream pie or some stupid thing.
Right.
Like they did, like, these silly, you know, ride a tricycle base, you know, dressed in a baby outfit. You're not going to do that. But I thought truth and consequences.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Might be an interesting, look at how we're brainstorming on the air. Truth and consequences would be an interesting umbrella. The Some of You Show presents Truth and Consequences.
Oh.
That sounds like it could be like an S&M club. That could sound, you know, however you get them in the door. But if it's the Some of You Show,
mm-hmm.
right? So people, yeah. If you have not sent us a testimonial quote, especially those of you new callers that we've helped, or even some of our longtime callers, we have accumulated a really nice, diverse pile of lovely, lovely reviews, quotes, whatever you want to call it, and it's time to take what we're doing to the next level. We have been doing the show for over 7 years. We love doing it. We will continue to do it. But I think there's a greater stage and platform. And instead of going into the sort of new age, niche-specific market, my intuition is saying, nope, let's make this more mainstream, more quote-unquote entertainment. That's how you get them in the door. And
right.
then you do the energy work, what you guys. You know, there's such a small percentage, there's such a small population. And then even in terms of being spiritually awakening, open, and then even within that population, I don't have the energy for the dissension and for the ego and for the insanity, for all of that. We're just two real chicks talking about real stuff, you know, and we happen to
right.
be good at picking up stuff. That's it.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
But anyway,
I like it.
What do you think about that? Do you like it?
I do. Yeah. I do, because I agree that we have we have a reason to be on the air. We have a reason to reach out to people,
mm-hmm.
and even through Blog Talk, you know, even the way it's set up, you have a certain category. So spirituality is one of our
right,
you know, like one of our search words, you know, keywords.
Right,
and I think it's this need to help people raise that vibration. It's to help them become more awakened. You know, I think a lot of people are going through that period of time where it's like their stuff is becoming more real to them, and even if they're not very spiritually minded right now, I suspect a lot of people have these. They're making some connections that don't seem to make sense, but they know it's important. And maybe presenting certain aspects of this everyday life in something playful, like a game show kind of thing,
mm-hmm.
May help
right.
make that connection uh-huh. for them
uh-huh.
a little
uh-huh.
more apparent
uh-huh.
versus let's have a heart to heart on a talk show, and we'll get into the drama of what just happened.
Right.
You know, I think there's a different take on that, because certainly there's plenty of talk shows out there now, you know, on TV, for example,
right,
where that's what they do. But I think it is funny that I'm living with an aunt who watches a lot.
Uh-huh.
She watches the Game Show Network, and
we
it's a mixture of old stuff and new stuff. And I'll come in and sit down and I'll watch it and you know, but there is this buzz, this energy, even if it's just with that studio audience, and you know, people are still wearing their silly costumes to get noticed.
Mm-hmm.
There's a whole thing there, getting noticed, trying to stand out in a bunch of people who are also trying to do the same thing. And and if you don't dig too deep in terms of the mechanics behind it, like, oh, let's get so-and-so, let's try, who knows if they're doing quick, you know, background checks on everybody, who knows how the behind-the-scenes stuff works. But when you're watching it, there are people who you can tell from the way they talk, what they're, you know, what they've done for a living. You have retired military people who are on the show, and they have a certain, you know, aspect or perspective. You know, from the handful of shows that I've watched with my aunt, and she's there's a good 4-hour block of time where she's just, you know, watching all these different shows. And she's participating. She's like talking to the TV with prices. It's
talk to her,
you know,
friends.
Oh,
that's so good to see.
So, but you know, think about that, the value of things. You have to guess the value of things. To win a bigger game, you have to,
girl,
you know, not go over the amount so you can be as close to the amount. There's all things that we, as we play it as a game. We play it as a game. But I will tell you, my aunt, she's sort of that bargain shopper in that sense of, well, that's how much it costs.
Yep.
So if I can get a better deal, then I got a good deal. And that's,
and I won.
Yeah. You know, and I won. Right.
And I won.
I knew that.
I mean, I'm all about the shopper's high. All about it.
Right. Right.
Yeah. It's literally
so
a shopper's high.
If we turn that around a little bit and say, you know, understanding your value in this game of life, then you know, it starts to take on a, like, well, let me, before I say $1, let's see what we got here, you know, before I lowball myself, you know, what can I be doing? So there's a lot
undervaluing
going on.
Yourself. That's a whole
undervaluing.
Bunch of, yes.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So there are big, you know, everyday themes that we can work with. And I think in a playful atmosphere,
it's a concept worth exploring. Yeah.
Yeah. It'll raise the vibration.
Mm-hmm.
And then for follow through, that's where, you know, maybe you do get into like a group coaching type thing, or, you know, you know, just something additional. But it's seeing that we can recognize these things and in the course of playful conversation or playful interaction that you can get some big life truths without it being like a complete breakdown. You know, I see a lot of value in that. And I'm not one, because I'm not super competitive. There are people who'd like to do like board games and they're super
competitive.
Neither.
Oh, God, no. Oh, God, no.
And that's a different vibe. But we can address that too, because as a society, I think
that's
switching it out.
Very cutthroat.
Because you look at, you know, capitalism, which is what most Western countries, for the most part, are on, you know, they're like, oh yeah, it's all about capitalism, maybe a little bit socialism in there, but pure capitalism says, you know, you have to be competitive, and if you're on top, that means you're the best. But there are also consequences to that, because now you have a society where only the best people can get the best care, for example. And they can't possibly fathom not being in that situation, because they're like, I'm always going to be on top. I'm always going to try to make myself better, which seems really noble. It seems very noble, but it's very much about the individual and not about, you know, your fellow man. It's not about the group.
Right.
So even when you have teams, like sports teams, for example, just to break it down a little bit more, you know, you have to be on the best team. Or you have to be in the best family. You have to go to the best schools. And and but what about the rest? Because then your compassion for people who are different from you takes on a very different perspective in terms of what your expectations are of them, and it becomes a them versus us. Because guess who's in charge? It's whoever has the most. That's
right.
Who's in charge. That's who gets to decide the dynamics of a group that they don't really care about as long as they're getting their own. So we see the breakdown of society right there. And it's not like capitalism is all bad, but there are consequences of that. Just like there's a big fear in being a socialist state for a lot of people. You know, it's almost like, don't stifle my creativity. Don't stifle my competitive edge.
Right.
But fundamentally, there are people who are hurting. There are people that could be part of your family, and you could be like, well, they're just lazy. They're not going to thrive in an environment where it is cutthroat, but they may thrive very well in a tribe or in a group where the whole thing is like, well, we all need to get better. No child left behind, whatever the case may be. So you really see each system has its pitfalls. But what's your end game? Maybe people's end game is like, well, we can't take everybody with us, so I should just take care of myself.
Right.
But you cannot sustain that either one for very long. Like, you can't just be in a group all the time without at some point feeling like something's some direction that everyone's supposed to go on, you can't be on board with. And then you have to stick out for yourself. You have to break away. But then you also can't be that lone wolf. You cannot sustain that for a long period of time without feeling intense loneliness, without becoming so different from what you are that it will break you down. So we experience all these things. We may not see it in that framework, but I think that's what we're going through as a country. And on a bigger stage, that's why it looks like stuff is just falling apart, because we're noticing our limitations in, say, it's all about the self, it's all about the individual, and let me just get what I can. I mean, it's so 1980s in a sense, but it's now on a different level because we're seeing the consequences of that. Where in the 80s, make as much as you can, but know that you're leaving a lot of stuff behind, and maybe not people, but maybe you're some of your ideals, maybe you're some of your compassion, maybe applying some of that skill set to solving some bigger problems that will eventually affect you. If not you directly, then maybe it's because, well, who's going to take care of your elderly parents when it's so expensive to provide good care for them, even though they've also worked the system and whatever they saved wasn't enough. Or, you know, now these procedures are so crazy expensive and it's not even good care, and they can't do it in a timely manner because they're not on that list. When people are doing without insurance because they certainly can't afford it, but when they really do need it, they're like, well, maybe it's just better to die. You know, those kinds of of scenarios. And I read an article recently, one of my friends, she's a friend of mine from my fraternity at school, and she was a student when I was there. She's brilliant. She's a doctor now.
Wow.
But she was born and raised in Louisiana. She was actually a contestant on Jeopardy. She did really well recently. She's super smart.
Oh, wow.
So she's a woman of color, and she posted an article. And she practices medicine in her home state, in her, I want to say in her, maybe not her hometown, but close to it. But she posted an article about having children. And she said, this may be one of the reasons why I chose not to have children and not to be a parent. But it was a whole article about, nowadays, when you have kids, you have to think about where you're going to send them to school, even when they're like 2 years old, 3 years old, like positioning yourself to get into the best schools or to get on the wait list to get into the best schools. It's almost like those were concepts that like you and I as kids, you know, we never heard our parents say, well, we hope we get them, you know. Yeah, you know, like you went to the public school and that was it. You went to the school
down the block. That was it. Yeah, that's it.
You're like, well, of course you're going to go there, and you made the best of it. Unless your parents were like super religious, and then they sent you to like, you know, a private, you know, Christian school or Catholic school. But she's saying that only, and in the article, if you are a mixed race couple or a minority, you don't have, you almost have to, like, you go on school tours and you almost can't ask those kinds of questions. Like, you're the one that they're actually judging. They're trying to say, well, are you going to be a good quality parent? Are you going to be involved in your kids' schooling? But my main questions are like, you know, how much does this stuff cost? And, what about the real life every day? Like, I got to put how much money in for, a semester or for a year for schooling. And it's like elementary school or it's kindergarten. And then you look at in your neighborhood, what are your public school options? And they're all suffering. But there's like everyone in these private schools, pretty much, you know, a bunch of white people. So,
yeah,
you know, it was a really good article, and it made me think about that. Like, so at what expense are we trying to do the best by our kids, you know, a bigger picture, at what expense? At the expense of crumbling school systems that will definitely leave a lot of kids behind because now there's no local support, there's no community support for that school.
Mm-hmm.
There's no incentive for it to get better if all the, you know, all the good kids and all the money is going to go somewhere else to a private institution. So are we undermining the very system that we're like, oh, that's why we're not sending our kids there because they're not any good, but no one's supporting it either. No one's sending the change. So, I read stuff.
I know. That's what a time saver for me. My goodness. But I think it's an interesting concept. So we're not coming across as the self-help experts. However, that it's a wonderful way to disseminate the energy work through a different more mainstream kind of context, and also to package something unconventional. Sure, there are people, tarot card readers, that are available for parties and this, that, and the other. But this is that concept that incorporated into a different level. So something for us to continue to brainstorm. But we're available for parties, corporate events. You want us? LOABlend@gmail.com. LOABlend@gmail.com. Yes, go ahead, girl.
As we brainstorm, is that we have a live event in either New York or Atlanta. We just have to test it out and just see what we come up with. And see if it makes the sort of impact that we're wanting. It strikes a chord with the people who are participating, and maybe even the people who are just, you know, spectators for the moment. To engage in that kind of process, you know, something fun, but something that, you know, maybe we're combining all these different things. But, you know, there's a Jerry Springer at the end of his show. You know, what did we take away from this? You know,
we just threw
chairs at everybody, and you know, but maybe not that violent.
But, you know, it's interesting. His taglines always take care of each other.
Right.
Make sure to take care
of
each other, which is so interesting.
So,
interesting concept. Yeah, you know, this is what happens when you don't sleep. So I thought I'd share that with you. Oh, my God. Yeah. So love that. So love that you're open to that and looking forward to fleshing this concept out. And I would think just doing a live version of this show, for those of you that are familiar with the show, which basically is conversation and readings, that if we, on a trial basis, offer ourselves to our listeners to take it on the road, and I think the fee would just be get us out there and put us up, and let's just, you know, it be like a beta test. So loablend@gmail.com, loablend@gmail.com. Just put it out there. It's called planting seeds.
I like it.
So we always do that, you know, that we see each other once or twice a year if we're lucky, or once a year and change if we're lucky. So we always have to take advantage of the little bit of face time that we have with each other.
Right.
And I said this to Elisa last night, that there's something about brainstorming in person that isn't really there when you brainstorm remotely, whether it's through a video conference call or regular phone call, email, whatever. There's just something about that dynamic of you can't really replace that in-person interaction. I don't know. There's something with the energy that can only really exist live. So it's been good to have that option. And,
I agree.
Usually, when Elisa comes, it's very quick. It's like a day or two, but this is a nice chunk of time. Or when I was in Atlanta, there were so many things going on. There were demons to purge, exorcisms to be had. That we were a little busy that trip. So this is good. We're long overdue just to have kind of like a uneventful, and I mean that in a good way.
I agree.
Tranquil, calm, not chaotic, lazy river, where's the tube? I know we're in New York and it's freezing out, but just that, okay, no real plans, loose plans, and no real plans to speak of, which would be lovely. So,
and that goes with with a little bit of the contrast that I think most of us are feeling from the everyday grind, just existing. And so to take yourself, like for me to get into a change of scenery automatically puts me into a different mindset.
Yeah.
I would say that the traveling part, I'm still kind of, you know, on in terms of, I gotta pay attention but I know it's temporary. I know that when I finally get to one particular place, I'll have a moment to breathe, and then you know, you take care of stuff you need to take care of, like, oh, where are we going to go eat? Stuff like that, very basic. And then, like, to visit you, Liz is just, like, rolls out the red carpet, does whatever she can, and she's just super accommodating. So, you know, for me, like, I'm trying to be as low-key as possible with my, I don't want to leave a big footprint on here, but you know, I really appreciate, I mean, she's like, here, you know, let me put a bib on you, let me feed you, and let me burp you. And
stop it. No, don't care. People pay good money for that. I could say this are extra. You know what? You set yourself up for that one. You know, a girl got to pay her rent. So, and Freaky My Freaks listening, you don't really do that. So don't email us. No. Don't call. Freaky My Freaks, don't be calling us. No, we don't have the energy.
So to come and visit and to explore not only the city, but to explore the next possibilities for what we do on this show.
Yeah.
And offer that on a bigger platform. I mean, I think for me, I know the reason why this came up was just, you know, that level of dissatisfaction with how things are going and not seeing if I stay on that particular trajectory, that it wasn't going to be more the same. And I've reached that point where I need to figure it out. I need to mm-hmm. have some different options to explore,
mm-hmm.
And not have it be out of frustration, but out of this sincere desire to
grow,
to see mm-hmm. To see what else is possible for me.
Mm-hmm.
And so if I'm going to play to some of my strengths, then we have to really assess, you know, what is it that I want to do? And
right.
This is something I love that we've done this show for so long that even though we're down from three times a week to just two times, I'll tell you that Sunday opening up has been very, very good for me as well.
Oh yeah,
having
no
it two times
I
a week,
anyway,
helps tremendously.
Mm-hmm.
Because we do get a lot out of it in the hour that we get to spend,
right?
Sharing and also listening to how other people are doing,
right.
Seeing progress or seeing where there are opportunities for them to really break through. Now, whether they take it or not, that's something we can't see, we can't know until they
mm-hmm.
call back.
Of course.
So that this is, we have to do the same thing. Like some of you may see us and, oh, everything's going well. Well, not always, you know, at any given moment, we're dealing with like the soap opera of our lives as well. That's another thing my aunt also watches. It's like game shows and soap operas.
And soap operas. That's so funny. That's life right there. Game shows and soap operas.
Game shows and soap operas.
That's the meaning of life right there.
But I don't want to tune out of my own life.
Exactly. You're seeing that. You don't want that to be you.
It's there's too much, like when I'm able to go on different trips or just, you know, if I have a really good day at the office, a really good tour, which is still a trip.
Right.
It reminds me, or if we have a really good show where you really affected me and we can tell we've made an impact on other people. When you get that level of accomplishment and feeling like, wow, it was a really good day. It really made a difference. Those are the sorts of things that I want to have more of. And I realize it doesn't have to be like this automatically, you know, it's life-changing situation for it to be of value. It just means, you know what, I left that day feeling a lot better than when I started the day.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Or I left that day feeling a greater appreciation for the people around me. Those are sorts of things where if you can continue to raise that vibration and raise that awareness, then you're going out into the world much better prepared and a better mindset to do the same thing for other people.
Right.
And the catch is to know that you're actually doing that, to acknowledge when you've done it, because we're
mm-hmm.
so easy to criticize ourselves for all the stuff we haven't done.
Yep. Yep.
And to in the same breath then say, take a moment and say, oh, but you know what, Maybe it's just because you felt better and it wasn't at the expense of somebody else, you know, for example.
Exactly.
Even changing your mindset. I won that point. You know, it wasn't that. It was that, you know, maybe for me, it's just like realizing everyone came maybe to their own conclusions. And even that is better than just hitting against a brick wall of the same old, same old.
Right.
We have to pick and choose where we're finding our successes or finding those pockets of happiness. And maybe
mm-hmm.
even making the difference between what is successful and what is happy, because it may not be the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Self-perception, right.
Yeah.
What filter are you going to use, right?
Right, right.
Yep. Very interesting. So that, no, it's good. It's a good conversation to have, and it's one that we really need to have, and I think that's what's been so helpful. I could have chosen to gotten off the air entirely or just gone down to, and I thought about it, believe me, or one day a week, just from dealing with the divorce and just the challenges with the kids and everything else. And I'm so glad that I chose to continue with the show. I think what you just said really makes that point of that the healing benefits of it, that you are making an impact and that your gift and spirit is pure. It's astounded me to give readings on no sleep that are insanely accurate and meaningful. And then all of a sudden you get out of yourself and it's a higher purpose of service. which doesn't detract, and it's not codependent. It's service, which is a reminder from spirit, from source, keep going. Yes, you're tired. Yes, you feel broken. Yes, you feel dark. Yes, you've been the villain and all of that, but there has to be something. There's a purity that we all have. So I think this is a way, in addition to the love of my children, which is incredibly pure, because I do things for them that I wouldn't do for anybody. The purity of that love and then the purity of service, that light transcends everything. It's a beacon leading you. Like, I don't know where I'm going, but I feel in my heart that I'm going in the right direction.
Right, right.
I'm going in a positive direction, going in a better direction. But just where I'm pointed, it's aspirational towards a brighter direction, which is why that we changed the tagline to the show, here's to brighter days ahead. Because each day, we're claiming that each day will just be a little bit brighter.
Right. But and sometimes it's from the light that you provide that it becomes brighter.
Or that you collaborate with or you co-create.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Right.
And that there's really not that expectation of form. Well, it's only going to be brighter if I get this job or if I have this relationship or if I'm in this space or I get ordered this thing online or whatever. It's just all I want are brighter days.
Mm-hmm.
And let's see where that takes me. That's it. It just takes a whole burden off of your shoulders. You can't argue with a brighter day.
Right.
So where are the possibilities in that? As opposed to it has to be this, 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 this. No, who says?
Right.
Right. What is it that you need to control? But
control.
The way I'm out of my mind, I'm so tired. The way, like, I learned about sunflowers, follow the direction of the sun.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Mm-hmm. Is that what I learned yesterday, right? Because my brother, he's so sweet. My brother sent me a delivery of flowers congratulating me on the divorce papers getting signed. And Elisa was over the house, and the bell rings. I'm like, who's on my bell? And then there's this guy with flowers. I said, who are you? And, I'm delivering flowers. I'm like, oh, my God, you guys never get tipped. Wait a minute. So I tipped him. And because I read about that Valentine's Day. But they don't get tipped. They just say, oh, thank you. I'm so excited. And you're so distracted by getting your present that you leave the poor guy with this cart of flowers. I was like, no, he needs He was so happy. He was so grateful because I'm like, I'm sure I was his first tip of the day. And that ain't right. But anyway, in this lovely little vase of this bouquet of flowers, there was a sunflower or two. And I learned that sunflowers, I guess that's what they're called. I thought because they look like the sun, maybe because they look like the sun. But also, all plants, I guess, photosynthesis will gravitate towards the light. Well, that's it. The interesting part is to use a sunflower. See, look, we're already like collaborating on the air. A sunflower would be an interesting graphic. Like a ghosted sunflower, not like a, you know what I mean, like a shadow. You know what I mean when I say ghosted, that it's kind of like the shadow image. So it's kind of in the, you have to really look at it to see what it is type of thing. So it's subtle. But a sunflower, that could be cool.
I learned
about that. I like it. See, girl, I'm brainstorming, brainstorming on no sleep and one cup of coffee, Oof. So damn tired.
Got in like the day before I travel. Usually I have it already packed. Usually I seriously wait until the night before I have to actually go.
Oh my Lord.
Sometimes if it's not air travel and I'm just driving, sometimes the hour before I leave, I'm like, oh, I should probably throw some things together. That's just how I run. I may change that. Just start changing that.
Yep. Maybe.
But the night before I left, I did have an early morning flight. I went over to my cousin's house to borrow a backpack. So this is the same cousin I'm going to be traveling with later in the year. We're going with a few other one of her coworkers and a couple more cousins. We're going to Iceland for a cousin's trip, which I think is going to be a lot of fun. It's been interesting just putting stuff together, but my family, my cousins are just super cool. And, you know, once we work out some of the details and just agree on certain things, then it'll be fine. But this is one of my cousins. She kind of does her own thing. Like, she may have one other person that'll accompany her on a trip, or she'll mention it to people. But, you know, if you don't make any moves, you don't say anything, then she's not waiting for you. She's like, okay, well, I'll do what I'm doing. She has the same birthday as my mother, which I think is hilarious. Because they both kind of exhibit a certain type of control. But for her, it's like, it's her stuff. You know, I'm going to do my thing. And it's never like a mean thing. It's always just the way she presents it. You're like, well, good for you. You know, like, yeah, you know, hope we have a good time. And so she has an obsession with backpacks, like travel backpacks. So she had gone on a trip to Ireland within the last couple years and used a backpack for her luggage. She didn't check anything. That was her carry-on, and she did this. It was like a 10-day trip. It was a 10-day trip.
Oh, my God, with that backpack? Wow.
Yeah, yeah. So so she said, well, and she has three of these, like different brands, three different brands, but they're basically the same thing. They're meant to be for to be a carry-on, and they have all these things you can compress stuff in.
Right.
And so
right.
She said, yeah, you know, you're welcome to try out any of these backpacks. You know, and if you want to use one for the Iceland trip, just let me know. Obviously she's not taking all three. So
right.
I said, well, that may be something to consider. Cause I was thinking about buying one anyway, but she's like,
right.
If you want to try it out. Thank God. Because I borrowed one the night before. And I packed probably a little too much.
You look like a shirt. You look like a Sherpa. Sherpa realness.
I mean, that backpack was as tall as you, bitch.
I'm like, what?
To be fair, my cousin is a little bit taller than I am. but and these were actually the smallest in terms of. Small enough to fit stuff that you need for a fairly longer than a weekend.
Right.
But yeah.
About a week. Yeah.
I think I'm good with maybe a rolling luggage. Maybe, you know, but yeah. I throw everything together. I stay up to the point where
Jesus.
To get up in like an hour and a half. I got to get up in like 2 hours. Do I stay up? Do I just go ahead and take a shower and then just be done with it and just like prop myself up by the door? Okay. Then, like, I forced myself. I set all these alarms within like 5 minutes of each other, so that I would make sure I got up. That's how excited I am to go.
Right.
That I'm like, I can take a little nap when I get there. So, you know, by the time we show up, I'm like,
yeah, you guys are leaky. I loved it. It was great.
You're sort of looking at me like. A little worried, like, maybe you should take a little nap. No, I'm fine. I can go.
You're like nodding out on my chair. I'm like, could you just, here, I make it nice for you. I make it cozy. I love to host, so it's not like it's an inconvenience. I enjoy it. So take advantage of that personality trait that I have. Because I will take good care of you.
So Liz is like the quintessential, you know, cancer mother, you know.
Yeah.
Let me make sure you got food. Let me get, you know, I was almost expecting to get, let me wash your face with a warm cloth.
No,
then,
I ain't gonna do that.
You know. I had there was a cruise director on one of the ships I was on, and his mother was from Syria.
Ooh.
And but married an American, and this man, the cruise director, you know, probably one of the gayest people I've ever met.
Yeah.
But he is telling the story about how his mother used to wake up wake all the kids up every morning by like gently washing their faces with a warm, wet cloth, washcloth. And then like, she had something, she had something else baking, like some like lemon, something or another. It was like this, she was describing it. And all of us in the audience are looking at each other like, who does that? Like, no one's mother did this stuff. You know? And he's like, oh wait, you, no one knows what I'm talking about. We're like, dude,
wow.
No.
Damn.
Like, your mom was like Saint whatever. Like, oh, what's going on there?
Yeah. Wow.
Just like, I just had this picture of this mother, like, I love you, and just like, you know, just pampering and all of that. And
she gets, yeah, she's with a curly teenager. She gets slapped. Like, what's that white, what stuff on my face? What? I would be thrown. Oh my God. Especially with my older, either one. I would be thrown. Don't touch me. Oh my God. You're so annoying. Oh yeah. Teenage years.
Oh,
I'm living
my goodness.
For them. No, I'm not. I'm like, oh.
Yeah.
That lemons in the oven and washcloth in the... No, that ain't going to happen.
Well, you know, cruise directors are known for some tall tales and legends, but it was he delivered it so well. I was rolling
I'm sure.
Out. Okay.
I'm kind of like Tennessee Williams is spinning a yarn.
Well, yeah, he would kind of drop some of these tidbits, like, oh, you know, like he changes his sheets every night.
Girl.
He's that level of, you know, like, I'm like, you pack, well, you know, however many sheets you need, you know, sets of sheets. And he's like, I don't sleep in my own filth. I'm like, okay.
Cool. Well, where you been? What are you doing? You know what I'm saying?
I was like, all right.
And,
no,
you know, if you're going through reverse virginity, as I am, the process, I've just made that up, of reverse virginity, it's as clean, it's no white realness. My covers, no, they're pure. Yeah, I go to bed, I go put my head in the pillow, a chorus of Ave Maria, just... Oh, it is pure. I change this once a week. I don't even need to change it once a week. Pure. The Ivy Snow. Yes. Shoot, change your sheets. My filth. Oh, he's nasty. I can use the word filth like that. I'm just saying. Hmm.
He had a way of delivering his story. And he was, you know, I don't know how old he was. He was probably in his 60s, you know, 50s, 60s.
Well,
very
girl,
prim and proper.
That's crusty right there. Talk about your filth.
It's crusty.
All right. It's crusty. Look, when I have no sleep, I can't censor myself. I apologize.
Oh,
I apologize. Hello. Okay. I apologize. Is it you you're waiting? Is it me you're waiting for?
Oh, she's delirious. So, yeah, that level of
nobody
tiredness was definitely felt. I know.
It's like, call her. Come on, because I'm help me here. I'm drowning here. And I actually took a picture. It was so cute. Elisa, she's just my little teddy gram. I've been saying that since the day I met her. She's just a little teddy gram. And she was just lying on my chaise, on my sectional, all cuddly. She was out. So, of course, I had to take pictures of her while she was asleep, as one does.
Creepy.
Well, no, creepy if I was, like, watching you sleep, because we had that conversation. But people who watch people sleep,
that is creepy. That is creepy.
No. That's like, but... to take a picture of somebody because they look so cute, you know. I had to do it.
Yeah,
so
I wake up from my nap.
I made it,
and there's a text. She sent it out.
Oh yeah, sent your picture right. Well, now when she calls me, that's gonna be her ID picture. So I'm really happy. I'm really happy you're here.
Oh,
so nice.
I'm so glad to be here. Thank you. Thank
Yay.
You for opening your home.
Oh, of course, it's my pleasure. And my son loves you, so. Oh,
he
good.
Is so, so big. Yeah, I just can't believe it. He still has the same baby face, you're right. But I'm like, look at you. He's like, I'm not that tall. I'm like, he's taller than me, which is not that tall.
I think he grew overnight. I swear to God. I think he grew overnight. Sometimes that happens.
Mm-hmm.
That happens.
Mm-hmm.
But the one day to the next, you're like, excuse you, did you just grow an inch? I think he grew like half an inch last night. He's like, you're small. I said, no, I am not shrinking yet. I'm sure that's to come. I said, I think you grew last night. Like, I'm not even kidding. Get the hell out of here. And it's crazy. A winter coat. I'm gonna actually pass it on. His winter coat. She can't even. I'm like, oh, you kidding? Oh, can't we just wait till the season's over? I'm like, my God.
Yeah.
That's why they're always hungry. Oh, my Lord.
Oh, that's true. And I don't know what time he usually goes to sleep. He looked pretty tired, though, last night. He was just like,
well, because he had baseball.
Yeah.
He went to bed before 11, which is actually preferable. Sometimes I can't get him to go to bed earlier, so that was good.
Mm-hmm.
He did well. He was tired. So that was good. But that's why I love the athletics. It's healthy.
Yeah.
You're not in front of a screen.
Yeah.
And you're just burning off some of that 12 to 13-year-old insane troublemaking energy.
Mm-hmm.
It's like frontal cortex. Let's make those connections. Let's go. Let's get through the next 5-6 years, please. Let's go. I hope you live that long. Let's go, because you're killing me. Let's go.
Oh, I think that whole concept is fascinating, because I'm sure there's many, many lifetimes where I've been like the mother or the parent of some
uh-huh.
kid, probably someone else in my
God.
Family. But like
yeah,
in this lifetime,
probably, yeah.
When I was little, I never thought about what it'd be like to be a mother. Like, it wasn't one of those, like, ooh, like, I think you and I were talking about this. Like, no, you don't want to get married.
Like the book,
I was not one of those kids that thought about my life in that way. Like, I never got into that, oh, when I get married, I'm going to wear this kind of dress. And I just didn't.
Oof.
I think because I was already, like, I don't know if this is the body I'm supposed to be in, but whatever. It was like.
Right. Consequence. The consequence
right.
of the body you're born into, the consequence of your skin color, the consequence of how you were raised, the consequence of your parents. Like, it's so interesting. Yeah.
Thank God I didn't have, I used to think, what would it be like if I had sisters? Because I didn't have that kind of influence. Like, my mother is like, my mom is not like girly girl, but she likes being a woman, and she was always wanting me to, why don't you use this purse? I'm like, what am I going to use the purse for? I just put my pants pocket.
Right, where's my backpack? Right, where's my wallet?
Right.
I'm kidding.
Like, yeah, what is this? Right, what is this little thing gonna? That's not gonna hold anything. I can't even put my book in here.
Like, what is that contraption? What is that? What is that thing?
So these are so
it's
impractical, Mom. I can't even wear shoes. I can walk it. I'll fall. Like, I just can't. I don't
right?
even know what you want me to do.
It's interesting. You had two older brothers. I'm the mother mm-hmm. of two sons, and I'm like your mom. I'm not really. I have a lot of masculine energy, but I like being a woman. So I'm
mm-hmm.
not a girly girl, but I like being a girl. So,
mm-hmm.
and I have defined myself. Oh my God, I hope certain people aren't listening to the show, but whatever. I have felt sometimes that I had the more, at times, would have the more stereotypical, you know, male energy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like
mm-hmm.
I was ready to give up my apartment in 5 years and just move to another country because
mm-hmm.
I couldn't deal with the madness. I was ready to do that when my daughter passed away. He was devastated. I mean, and this is just what happened. This is not a criticism. This is just what happened. I'm not criticizing at all. He took to the bed. I bought him flowers.
Mm.
Well, yeah, and this is me postpartum. That made no sense. This is
wow.
me postpartum. I just had a baby who died like a couple days later. And
right.
I'm getting him flowers.
Oh, right.
And I started working, you know, right away. Like, it's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I went back
mm-hmm.
to school to finish my degree. Like, insane. So I never really, that was the consequence of me feeling like that. It didn't even occur to me. Like, forget about worth. It has to occur to you. So all these years later, being married for so long, it occurred to me, and I think this is why I don't feel like I need to be in a it's just such a turnoff right now to get into a new relationship, because I'm in a new relationship with myself. And what's very interesting, and again, I hope certain people are not listening, but if they are, that's life. I'm tired. I don't care. But when I was on this campaign to explain sort of my point of view with one of the many reasons why this marriage had to be no more, very plainly, and this is the truth, I need to know what it's like to learn how to love myself. I don't know what that is. You know, at 50-something years old, I don't know what the hell that is. And the response I got, well, if you're on this quest of needing to love yourself, why do I have to leave the apartment?
Oh,
I'm like, have we not met? Do we not have
Wow.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So that perpetuated the message that I didn't deserve to love myself. So I had to fight through that within myself. You know, fight through fleeting, thank God, but circling that rabbit hole of unworthiness. Or maybe I should end my life because obviously there's no value. I mean, that would fleet and I would pick myself back up. But yeah, because you just go to all those places, and to understand that I need to be the reinforcer of that. It cannot come from somebody else, and that's what God and that's what Source is showing me. It has to come from yourself. I had a coaching client, and I coach her for acting technique, but I'm also without formally labeling it, I'm also her life coach. It's just evolved into that. So it's interesting, kind of like what we were talking about before with truth and consequences. Like, we start out like this game show kind of format, but then that's a platform to dig deep. And she got a very unsupportive message from her parents about a beautiful artistic photograph of hers that was posted on Facebook. And she sent me a text of a screenshot of that message that was, take that down, that's not good, da, da, da. And she's in her mid-30s.
Oh, wow.
She goes, yeah, see the great support I get? And I just responded, because I'm going through a couple of things, I just responded with, we'll discuss during our next session. Because now that I've gained this wisdom, it's creating that relationship within yourself. And that's all you need.
Right.
And it's tough. It's well worth it. It's all you need. Girl, it's 9:28. Nobody called us? Oh, my God. I just checked the time. I'm like, really? Okay.
I know. Well, we had, Jay and Raven and a few guests listening in the chat room. So hello, everybody. Thank you for joining us today of our Live from New York show.
Yes.
Live
from New York.
We'll have another one.
We're not going to do a show on Tuesday. Oh, are we going to do a show Tuesday? Yes, you are doing a show Tuesday because you're not leaving until Tuesday night. That's right.
Right.
We'll do our next show.
What?
I got confused with the time.
Me too. I'm like, we're not leaving until
So our next show will be another live from New York. Hopefully I'll be more rested, and Alisa she'll be talking a mile a minute, because she would have been in New York for almost a week, so you're not going to recognize her, because I'm going to bring her in. You know how we do when she comes. But it's wonderful for us to brainstorm, and we will continue the conversation to fill you guys in on Tuesday. So if you guys need to get a hold of us, or you want to book us, just hook us up, room and board, but nice. You know, put us in a hotel. Pay for our transportation. Like, don't put us on the back of a bus, because we don't play that. LOA Blend. Seriously, we're open to inquiries. LOABlend@gmail.com. If you just want to get a hold of us, please email. As I said, our next show is scheduled for this coming Tuesday from New York, 8:30 a.m. United States Eastern Time. So glad that you're here. So great to have the conversation on and off the air. And as always, to brighter days ahead. Love you.
Love you.
Catch everybody soon.
Bye, girl.
Bye.
See you soon. Bye.